Okay, so we are starting a new topic today. The topic is basically Chiyuv Nashim, the mitzvah sukkah. Right, the question is how the mitzvah of sukkah applies to Nashim. So before we really get started, let's get started by reading the Mishnah and the Gemara. So just skip to the end of the Mishnah. I'm sorry that we're going to just, for time's sake. See the end of the Mishnah starting Nashim Bavadim Ketanim, the first word of the line. You wanna, Aaron, you want to go for it?
Okay.
See, the beginning of the line isn't about them.
Yeah. Okay. Or starting from the middle of the Mishnah?
Yeah, the middle of the Mishnah.
Okay. Nashim v'aladim v'katanim b'turah d'min ha-sukkah katzah chain tzara f'lima chai b'sukkah. He doesn't need his mother, then he would be chai. Maisa yoda kalasa shal shamay ha-zakein. The daughter-in-law of Shammai Zakein, he gave birth. Pichas as a mezivah, zichal gabi amita b'shvil akatan. She like took off the ceiling and put like a schach over it, over the baby, so the baby would be in the sukkah.
So we'll get back to the avodim part and the ketanim part later, but right now we're going to focus on the nashim aspect. Really, the Gemara is going to focus on number one, what is the drasha, and really more importantly for our purposes, is what exactly is the havamina to the mechayev nashim. The sukkah is in this classical example of the mitzvah of Seishas Van Grama, for which Nashim are Peturim. So let's just read the Gemara quickly.
That normal Ezrach is both woman and man. Vatanya, ha Ezrach l'rabos es anashim, Ezrach yoshechayv es binoy. Regarding Yom Kippur, that it includes nashim. Amma Ezrach gavri mashma. That it just stan Ezrach is only mashma gavri. So Amar Rabba hachas aninu asmichna rabbanah nakrai. That we have halacha and we put it as a smachta on the pasuk. Haikra v'ayah chaza. So first question is, which is the pasuk and what's the lachlan mishus? Yom Kippur or Sukkah? V'su, and also kralamali hilchasa. If we have a lacha, why do we get
kralamali and hilchasa?
Yeah, hilchasali. Has okay. So hasaka mitzvah says just man grama. B'chol mitzvah says just man grama. Not
b'turos. Oh, that's me. The main question of our sugya.
Yeah. So number one, woman or partner anyway, because it's a mitzvah says just man grama. And Yom Kippur, Midrash Rav Yehuda Amarav, the Nafka, the Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, V'chein Tana D'Yerivishal Amakra, Isha, Ashava Akasav, Isha Chol and Shibish B'Torah. So they're already included in Kippur because they have this. They're comparing for all own Shibish B'Torah. So
that's the key, right? So the basic now the key they're coming to answer first is really the question in the context of Nashim: why exactly do you need a Halacha Moshe Mitzvah to exclude Nashim from the mitzvah of Sukkah? Isn't it included in mitzvah Seishas Zman Grama? So we're going to see the two answers to this question.
So, Amar Rabbi, Le'olam Sukkah Helchasa. It's really a lachon lashvi. Sina v'sistrach Sukkah da'tachamina tishukin didiru. You would have thought tishukin didiru ma'diru v'ishto av Sukkah yish v'ishto. K'mash v'lan, if we need a pasuk to teach you, no, we don't make this drasha of tishukin didiru, really, it's really Nashim are Peturos. Rabba Amar Yisrach Chazat Lamina Yal Chamish Asar Mi Chamish Asar Mi Chagamatos Ma'ala Nashim Chayavos Afka Nashim Chayavos Mas One, don't make that drasha and Nashim are Peturos.
Okay. So for now we're gonna we'll stop here now. But I mean, and in terms of the specific drasha of Rabba Tesvav that we will return to tomorrow, Amir Toshem. But at this point, suffice it to say that it's important that there's already the Ritva notes that Rava doesn't agree with the Bais Drasha of Teshu Kintadiru, which is going to be significant based on the general the assumption of Rishonim that all Amoraim agree to the notion of Teshu Kintadiru, as already in the Mishnah later on this very Amud. It's clearly associated with the Brisa and the Mishnah, this concept of Teshu Kintadiru, so we're going to all the Rishonim assume that even Rava agrees to the notion of Teshu Kintadiru. So therefore, the implicit question that's raised by a lot of Rishonim is going to be, so why does Rava here come onto the factor of Tesvav and not simply agree to Abaye and say this is an application, Lahavamina is based on Teshu Kein Tadiru. So we're going to get to that in a second. But in essence, we basically saw in the Mishnah that Nashim are Peturos from the Mitzvah of Sukkah, and the Gemara basically established that you needed a Halacha Moshe Mitzvah to basically be pulled to them, and the first explanation as to why they would, or first explanation as to what the Havamina would be for them to be Chayev, Chayavos, is this factor of Teshu Kein Tadiru brought up by Abaye. So just to note right off the bat, two, say, assumptions of Abaye going into this Havmina to Mechayev Nashim in Sukkah based on this factor of Teshu Kendadur. So the first assumption, noted to one Chavrusa in Seder, which is a point that I haven't seen elsewhere, but I think it's an important point, is that the factor of Teshu Kendadur that Abaye brings up, this factor of Teshu Kendadur based on Diras Ish V'Ishto, sounds like it's limited to a married woman, right? The fact that it would be Teshu Kintadura for her to be sleeping alongside her husband. But yet, the context of the Gemara is really all nashim, right? As long as you're over Bas Mitzvah, seems like the Havamina, I mean, it sounds like you're a Havamina to be Chayiv, and then the you need this Kamash Milan, this the Chiddush of the Halacha Mosh B'Sinai to come and pat them. So just one Ara is that, at least a Baye seems to be giving a reason which only covers married women, even though it seems like the Havamina includes all women. So that's just one.
Well, isn't the reason that women are patur from visitations of Mangrama is because they're married and they need to raise children?
I'm saying that could be maybe a tam, but at the end of the day, meaning in the way it's carried through it, lahalacha, is that it applies to all women, whether they're married or not, right? Lahalacha.
I mean, all the same thing here, though.
You say, okay, could be. So it could be that, meaning you have to say something like that, that the, although the factor of Teshu Kintadura only applies to married women, it's like a little plug of sorts, Daraisa level is on the Havmina, that are applied to single women as well. Okay, just to point that out.
In the
era.
Then that wouldn't be a problem, because when you're dressed,
Okay. So assumption number one that Abaye is making is this fact, right? This is equation between married women and single women, even though, right, his factor only applies to married women. That's point number one. The second major assumption, which is going to be a key to the sugya and working out some of, you know, some of the parents' siras in different gemaras.
Do we make these assumptions?
This is Abaye. And when Abaye applies Teshu Kintaduru to justify this Havamina, seems to be two assumptions, right? Number one is the fact that he seems to be justifying a potential chiyuv for all nashim, and yet the reason only seems to apply to married women. So we're going to see in contrast, just to highlight, in contrast to Rava's reason of Tesa Tesa, which really covers all women. Assumption number two is that he's utilizing Teshu Kenta Duru to not be magdir a pre-existing chiyuv, right? Generally, the way Teshu Kenta Duru works is like there's a chiyuv sukkah, which is incumbent upon, let's say, men, for instance. And Teshu Kintadur comes along to be magdir the parameters of that mitzvah. When does it apply? What? To define. That's probably the best way. Right, to define the parameters, like coming from a gedir definition. Coming to define the parameters of when this pre-existing mitzvah applies. That's a classical application of Teshu Kintadur. But here, a major chiddush of Abaye's application of Teshu Kintadur here, and we'll see, this possibly might be the nukuda that Rava is arguing on, but a major assumption and chiddush of Abaye's application is that he's utilizing this factor of Teshu Kintaduru not to be magdir, a pre-existing chiyav, but really to generate a chiyav michadash. Right? Nashim, pre this drasha, would be peturos, because the mitzvah sasej has non-grama, comes along Abaye and says, oh, this factor of Teshu Kintaduru can come along and be mechayav nashim in the mitzvah of sukkah. So that's a major chiddush of the Gemara here of Abaye's application of Teshu Kintadur, that it's not being magdir, pre-existing chiyuv, but that it's coming to generate a new chiyuv. So once we point this out, we can then appreciate possibly what the ritva is coming to do. And the ritva, as we already implicitly, you know, made reference to this a couple minutes ago, the ritva is basically in essence bothered by the kasha of why. Once Abaye mentions the factor of Teshu Kintadur, and we know that Rava agrees to the notion of Teshu Kintadur, it's an explicit brisa which holds a Teshu Kintadur. So the major question that the Ritzvah is trying to answer is, then why does Rava not just agree to Abaye's answer Teshu Kintadur? Why does he have to come onto his own answer, his drasha of Tesvav Tesvav? So to this, the Ritzvah says, right, Pirish Nadi Meokimta da Abaye, right, where basically Rava, you know, veers and, right, argues with the Okimta of Abaye, basically does not give the answer of Teshu Kintaduru. Mishum de Mashmale, this is the Ritva talking, to the Gabe Ha Leka Le Midrash Teshu Kintaduru. The drush of Teshu Kintaduru does not apply in this context. Why? It says, Velo Asa Kra Lekulehai. The drasha of Tishu Kandaduru doesn't work kulehai to such an extent. What? Why not? Exactly. That's the big question is, what is this kulehai? What's this, you know, what's the extra chiddush of the application here that Rava is coming to argue with? What? Not, but just the fact that it's nashim is not the chiddush, but there is some mechudush application with this application of Teshu Kain Dadur, which the Ritzvah doesn't explicitly reference here, but in light of what we just said, it's possible to suggest with the Ritzvah, and we'll see, the Ritzvah perhaps makes reference to this on the later piece, it could be what the Kulei Hai, the extra jump, which is, right, assumed in this application of Teshu Kain Dadur, is exactly the point we just made. The point that Teshu Kain Dadur here is not being utilized to be magdir, to define a pre-existing chiyuv, but rather coming to generate a new chiyuv. So it could be that what the Ritzvah is saying, that what Rava is arguing on, is that not the general notion of Teshu Kain Dadur, that he agrees with, but he's arguing with the notion of Teshu Kain Dadur coming along and being mechayev a new chiyuv for Nashim. And just to make reference, and basically the later Ritzvah, in Dibur Maschil Hadda Amrinan Ushamei Machmir, I told you guys to see this, at first glance it might seem like a little like, you know, out of place, because this is in the later Gemara in the context of, you know, the Shita of Beis Shammai, to be Mechayev, you know, Ketanim in Sukkah, even when, you know, they're not Bar Chinuch. So the question is, what exactly is the Tzad to be Mechayev them? So he has a Deya there to say that it's based on Teshu Kain Tadira, right? I mean, just like we say, Al Diras Ish V'Ishto, so too, Diras Ish Ubnei Beiso, right? A person normally lives with his family, with his kids. So that's a Teshu Kain Tadira in that context. And there, the Ritzvah adds a very important line. And the way he formulates it is the kasaber sha'aviv chayev ba minator, this is the key, that there the application would be on the father. That be part of the father's pre-existing chiyuv is to add another component that he has to also have his kids there. It's all mitzvah the father, that he has to bring his kids along in order for him to be mekayim his pre-existing mitzvah in a kein tadiru fashion. So teshu kein tadiru ishu banav, right? Just like a kein tadiru, you generally live with your family, so to here. And here's the key line. Legabe didei medrash hachi. Legabe the father who insert he already has a chiyuv. Regarding someone who already has a chiyuv, there in that context we darshan teshu kain tadur. Afalgav delo darshina le lechayev isha b'sukkah. Even though we do not lemaskana utilize teshu kain tadur to be mechayev nashim lemaskana in sukkah. The implication here seems to be, because in contrast to the context here, where you're utilizing this chiyuv teshu kain tadiru to be magdir pre-existing chiyuv, the reason why teshu kain tadiru is rejected lemaskana according to Abaye, and could be the reason why Rava rejected it from the start, is because in the context of nashim, it's being utilized in a different manner to create a new chiyuv, and that far we do not go. So basically, if you put these two ritvas together, it could be what the ritva is saying is that the reason why Rava rejects Abaye's application of Teshu Kain Tadiru because he does not think that Teshu Kain Tadiru can create a new chiyuv. So with this shot in the ritva, you can basically defend the ritva from a question that Aruch Lener asks. The Aruch Lener on the spot basically quotes the ritva, and the way he assumes, the way he interprets the ritva, is that the Ritzvah is saying that the reason why Rava does not apply Teshu Kain Tadiru here, because Rava disagrees with the notion of applying Teshu Kain Tadiru to the case of Diras Ish V'Ishta. Right, so the Aruch Lener interprets the Ritzvah as saying that Rava does not think that this is basically the notion of Diras Ish V'Ishto, a husband living alongside his wife, that that's part of the parameters of Kain Tadiru. And that interpretation leaves the Aruch Lener to ask on the Ritzvah, the Ritzvah seems to be so ser of a Mefurish Gemara where an Erchin, which basically explicitly applies the notion of Teshu Kain Tadiru to this context of Diras Ish V'Ishta. So basically, Aruch Lener is bothered by, based on his interpretation of the Ritzvah, as thinking that the basis of Rava's rejection is the fact that we don't apply it to Diras Ish V'Ishto. He therefore asks that is so sir that contradicts the Gemara and Erechin, which clearly applies Teshu Kain Tadiru in the context of Diras Ish V'Ishto.
Why wouldn't we apply Diras Ish V'Ishto?
I'm not sure. I guess the question is, you know, how many details about relating to Teshu Kain Tadiru carry over? So I guess this might be, meaning maybe it's
Well, like there isn't there like one by number rules that each person might need their own sukkah. Because,
we saw that by Rav Elazar.
Yeah. So then that's much more extensive than Yerushalayim.
That's say it again?
That's much more extensive.
What do you mean extensive?
That's taking much farther. That's taking Teshuvah to do much farther.
That's not Midin Teshuvah to do. That's Midin Lacha.
Okay.
That's it's a different thing. What? Exactly. Well, that's gonna get back. That gets back to Tosos of Adam Abbas and the Ritzvah there. But either way, but based on what the way we're interpreting the Ritzvah, you can basically easily answer this Gemara. But according to the way we're explaining the Ritzvah, the Ritzvah is not rejecting the application of Teshuvah Kanta Adiru to the context of Diros Ish Ishto. Right? He says Ritzvah agrees to that. Sorry, the Ritzvah Bishin Rava agrees to that notion, as you see in the Gemara in Erechin. The only thing that he rejects is the notion of Teshuvah Kanta Adiru generating a new chiyuv, and we'll see when we get to the Gemara in Erechin. It's very clear the Gemara there is not utilizing Teshuvah Kanta Adiru in the Diras Ishva Ishto variety to create a new chiyuv. It's all about being magdir the husband's chiyuv. So that would actually work out very nicely if you interpret like the ritual like we're doing now to say that it's all about this of rejecting the extension to generate a new chiyuv. Then the ritual would not be so ser the Gemara in Erechin at all. And just to note that in the footnote 605 in the Ritzvah, and he references this Kashi L'Aruch L'Ner, it seems like he accepts the Kashi, accepts his interpretation, and says, the way you can explain the Ritzvah, even if you understand like the Aruch L'Ner, is by saying, there are two different Girsos in the Gemara and Erechin. We're going to get back to that in a second. Basically, only one Girsa in Erechin basically has this notion of Teshuvah Kanta Adiru, Diras Ish V'Ishto. There's another Girsa about Yom V'Layla, which basically doesn't go with the whole Teshuvah Kanta Adiru route. So even if you go with the Aruch L'Ner's interpretation of the Ritzvah, and you assume that the rejection is based on Diras Ish V'Ishto, there is a way of getting out of the Kasha from Erechin if you go according to one of the Girsos there. But according to what we're saying now, you don't even have to come on to that. The Ritzvah can basically embrace either of the Girsos there, because we're saying that the basis of the rejection is not about Diros Ish V'Ishto, it's rather about creating a new Chiyuv. Yeah.
You just answer that this is only in the Havim of the Gemara, and then when you learn Ha'ezrach, it's a Gilui Milsa that it does apply to Diros Ish V'Ishto.
In general. No, the problem is that the Maskana rejects even within Rava, even within Abaye. I mean, the problem, meaning, we're going to get to that, we can get to in a second, and hopefully we'll explain. So basically, we're going to get there, just hold off the question one second, and then we'll get back to any points. Basically, now that we're, so far we basically dealt with, the Havamina, right? Within Abaye, the Havamina is this Chiddush to basically apply Teshuvah Kanta Adiru to generate a new Chiyuv. So now, there, even within Abaye, that he has this Havamina, that Teshuvah Kanta Adiru can generate a new Chiyuv, there's a Kamash Malan on the basis of the Halacha Moshe Misinai. So the question you have to ask, what exactly is the impact of that Kamash Malan? So we'll get back to you if you still have a question. So I think there are two ways to interpret that Kamash Malan. So one way is to say that it's very specific to Nashim. This is to say that even the Maskana, the notion of Teshuvah Kanta Adiru being Mechayiv, a chiyuv chadash, that exists even in the Maskana. The halacha Moshe Misinai is just saying that you can't do that in the context of Nashim. Right? It's the Kamash Malan is very specific to the realm of Nashim. The other way to read the Maskana is that the Maskana is gufa rejecting this chiddush. That Limaskana, the drasha of Ezrach, is coming to say that there is no notion of a Teshuvah Kanta Adiru being mechayiv, a new chiyuv altogether. And according to that, so granted it's in the context of Nashim, but the Chiddush in the context of Nashim also teaches you a Binyan Av, that you can never have Teshuvah Kanta Adiru come and generate a new chiyuv. And, so once again, the two options, either the Kamash Malan is specific to Nashim, but in a Hanami, this notion of Teshuvah Kanta Adiru generating a new chiyuv could exist even on Maskana. Or we say, no, Gufa the Maskan the Gemara is rejecting this Chiddush and saying you cannot have Teshuvah Kanta Adiru come along and be Mechayev a new Chiyuv. So just on this, in this light, it's important to go back and reference that the Ritzvah we were talking about before. Remember the Ritzvah earlier in the context of the Ketanim, basically makes reference to our Gemara and says, oh, don't worry about the Maskana, the earlier Gemara, which rejected the notion of Dirash Ish to Ish, though, because basically don't take it as a rejection of Dirash Ish, the Ishto slash Ubnei Beso. It's basically only coming to reject this notion of creating a new Chiv. In the context of Ketanim, where the Chiv is Kai, right, goes on the father, there is no problem. So just the mashmaos of the Ritzvah, the fact that he's even referencing back to this Maskana, and therefore needs to answer, oh no, in this context, don't worry, the Teshuv Ken Tadur in the context of the Ketanim is going on the father, and it's not coming to generate a new Chiv. The implication is that the Ritzvah learns our Maskana in line with the second option. That basically the Maskana creates this new rule that Teshuv Ken Tadur can never generate a Chiv Chadash, and therefore he's implicitly bothered, oh, so how can you now apply it to Ketanim? The answer is no, don't worry, in the context of Ketanim, it's not coming to generate a new Chiv on the Ketanim, it's just coming to generate a Chiv on the Father. So just the implication of the Ritzvah by talking about our Maskana in the context, our Maskana, which is originally in the context of Nashim, and carrying it over to ask it in the context of Ketanim, it sounds like he learns like the second option, that it's more general. Iron, does your question still apply?
I don't think so.
Okay, Avi? Good.
So we're bringing the Ritzvah about Bunim to help our interpretation of the Ritzvah as opposed to our Flanders interpretation of the Ritzvah.
Correct, because the Ritzvah himself, when he's talking about the Bunim, references the Nashim and specifically makes this chilek between a case where the Chiv is on someone who's already Chayiv, mm-hmm. and so where Teshuv Ken Tadur is applying to someone who's already Chayiv, like the father, mm-hmm. or it's in the context of Nashim where it's referring to someone who was not already high.
I just
thought
it was
I know, sorry. I know, you raised your hand earlier,
yeah.
So you...
what was that assumption that
you made? They were both in Abaye.
Oh, they were both in Abaye?
They were both in Abaye.
The first one was that married woman versus...
Yeah, even though Abaye's reason of Teshuv Ken Tadur Ishta was in the context of married women, it seems like the context of the Gemara is about all women.
What was the second one?
And the second one was just this factor that Abaye assumes that Teshuv Ken Tadur can generate a new Chiv. Right, in the context of Nashim, before this Teshuv Ken Tadur came along, they weren't Chayavos. Teshuv Ken Tadur comes to generate a new Chiv, in contrast to most contexts where Teshuv Ken Tadur works where there's already a pre-existing Chiv, and it's kind of just coming to be Magdir, the premise.
Once a
Okay, so you have like a penchant for like leading us to the next topic? Perfect, so we'll get there right now. So which is good, that's always... Basically, so while our sugya that we just dealt with, right, in the Habamino that Abaye was dealing with, it was about being mechayiv nashim independently, so we're going to see like an echo of this Habamino, of this concept of Teshuv Ken Tadur, Diras Ish V'Ishto, even the Maskana in the context of Erechit. We're going to see David's point coming out where the Maskana, we might find a value for an Isha to dwell in the Sukkah, not mitzad her own Chiyuv, but mitzad her husband's Chiyuv. Getting back to this chilek, that maybe the only thing that's rejected, the Maskana is the notion of using Teshuv Ken Tadur to generate a new Chiyuv, but utilizing it to be magdir, the husband's Chiyuv, to say that he is only Chayiv to dwell in the Sukkah, calls man that his wife is there, because only in that such a situation is his yeshiva besukka ke'in taduru, that we're going to see in the Gemara Nechon. So if anyone has a Gemara... Yeah, 100%. I mean, but I think that's like a manifestation of the same chiluk. That, you know, when it comes to... Exactly, yeah, 100%. But that's the same thing as saying that it's being magdir. When you say it's being magdir pre-existing chiyuv, you're saying there is a chiyuv already. And all this is doing is coming to say that in a certain circumstances, it's a tour. So it's really the same cloak. So if anyone has the Gemara.
Bishama is not
saying
there's a tour,
saying
he actually has to.
Say, who's Bishama? Oh, it means there's a custom.
Yeah.
So that is.
Apparently, they actually have to go ahead. I mean, it's still being magdir as chiyuv, but apparently, they actually put the extra chiyuv on it.
Oh, okay. So we're going to get to that point. You're saying that's another nekuda of... One nekuda is like, oh, we'll say if the Isha is not there, whether the husband's pastor. Another question is whether the Isha has to go ahead and specifically go out there.
But it's still within the field of the
man. For sure, yeah, 100%. We're going to get the modem is manum. That was the last month where we're going to discuss that issue. We're going to hopefully get there if we have time. So let's just plow a little further here. Yeah, so if anyone has the Gemara in Erechim. Okay, he does. Okay, anyone else have it? Let's try to read it very slowly because this is a very important.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so Aaron, so everyone can pay attention to exactly the read because it's very important to. That was definitely the message of my statement. Yeah, go for it.
A kol chayavim b'sukkah kohanu levim Yisrael. Everybody's time to talk about Israel. That's all of Israel. Shita, it's obvious. He honey lo mechayivi, man mechayivi. If Kohanim and Israel are chayiv, then who's left to be the chayiv?
Exactly.
Kohanim, it's drifan. We need this statement to teach us that Kohanim are chayiv. It's drifan. It's not that something I would have said. Hala because of the sukkos teishru, the amar mar teishru shibasamir kein taduru, man yira ishru ishto af sukkos ishru ishto. I would have said. That since it says the sukkos teishru, the teishru here to do that, you would just like you normally would be with your wife, so too you should only be chayiv and sukkah with your wife.
Yeah, so it's right over here we have the Gemara, right? This is clearly holding of this idea of teishru kein tadiru in the variety of diras ish v'ishto, and therefore what's the havamina? Bahani kohanim.
Bahani kohanim. Hoel uvnei avoda dinu. Since they do the avoda mishmeitash, lo be chayiv. But then they shouldn't be chayiv because when they're doing the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, they're not with their wives. Kamash Olam, so the teacher says that even though they're doing the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash,
and it continues,
Nehi diftiri, Nehi diftiri b'shas avoda, lo b'shas avoda, chayiv mi chayiv.
Yes,
so
what does
they're
it
only potter during the shas avoda, but after the shas avoda, they are still chayiv.
Yeah, so just before, right, so just since not everybody has it in front of them, just to be very clear. Right, the Hamino we're saying, oh, you have this factor of Teshu Kein Tadiru, right, of the Diras Ish, the Ishta variety. And therefore the Havamina seems to be that you pater a Kohen, right, in light of the Maskana, the Havamina seems to be that even Shiloh B'Shas Avoda, whatever that means, right, it sounds like the Kohen would always be pater from sitting in a Sukkah, because for whatever reason, we'll get to in a second, he can't be Dar with his wife. Mashmalan, that basically the tour of Diras Ish V'Ishto does exist in the Maskana, but it's just limited to the situation of B'Shas Avoda where Diras Ish V'Ishto is not possible. Just like we have, right? Midadaba, Hochidrachim, Damar Mar, Hochidrachim, B'Yom, Peturim, Menasukka, B'Yom, Mechayvim, B'Lela. Just like we have in other circumstances where the Petur of Teshu Kein Taduru can work in certain circumstances and not in other circumstances. So here, it's just important to note that this is one Giras in the Gemara, but according to this Giras in the Gemara, you clearly have, seemingly have, these application of Teshu Kein Taduru, Diras, Ish V'Ishto, in the Havamina and the Maskana, right? The Havamina Maskana seems to only be about, you know, how far do you take it, even Shalom B'Shas Avoda, or just B'Shas Avoda. But you have this notion of Diras, Ish V'Ishto. This is the Gemara in Erchin, Gimel Amud Beis. So just right off the bat, even before we get into any of the details, so this is the Gemara that the Aruch Lener was quoting. Because here's the clear Gemara, which seems to apply Diras Ish V'Ishto Limaskana. So the question is, oh, how do you square that with our Gemara on Chav Chas Nefez, which seems to reject Diras Ish V'Ishto Limaskana? And the answer we suggested is, you know, there's a chilek between the application in our Gemara on Chav Chas Nefez, where it was being utilized to generate a new chiyuv, that's rejected Limaskana. Pasha Inkin, the Gemara in Erechin, all dealing with the chiyuv of the Kohen, who's right, who's a man, and therefore who's a pre-existing chiyuv, and we're just talking about being magdir his pre-existing chiyuv. So that's just the context of the Gemara. So now just to spend a couple minutes of analyzing some of the details in the Gemara, because exactly how you read the Shachar Vetaria becomes important. So just to note that there are really two different girsos in the Gemara. The Gemara, the girsa that we just read, is the girsa of our Gemara, is the one which mentions this factor of diras ish v'ishto. And that, according to this girsa, the tzad liftor is this factor that, you know, a Kohen is not able to be dar in Ishto. And it's important to note that Rashi, on the spot there, you want to read it, Aaron? This explains in the Havamina, why is it that a Kohen cannot live alongside his wife, seemingly for the entire Sukkos, even at night, when he is not actively involved in the Avodah. So you look at Rashi Dibur Maskil, Ubnei Avodah Ninu.
Ubnei Avodah Ninu. Ve'en yecholim lador ish v'ishto v'sukkah. And he's not able to live. He's not able to live with his wife in the Sukkah. Ze'en is kakin v'en shos sehen. De rabbi alayhu avodas haregel ima lo nichayim.
Right, so it sounds like Rashi is saying that because they're not allowed to have bia together, due to the fact that due to Tumas Keri, that would be metame him from being able to work in to perform a vote in the Beis Hamikdash. So it sounds like Rashi is saying that when the Gemara says b'shas, that when the Gemara says b'shas avoda, sounds like shas avoda refers not just to the daytime when he's actually before working in the Mikdash, but it seems like it also includes at night, because basically his avoda requires him to be poreish from his wife even at night to ensure that he doesn't become tummy. So it seems clear from Rashi already in the Havamina that the factor of diras ish v'ishto basically that a kohen cannot be alongside his wife both during the day during the avoda itself, but also at night due to this factor of not becoming tummy. So then what becomes, and Rabbeinu Gershom in the second day also takes this approach. He has this girsa as well, that it's the factor of diras ish v'ishto is what generates the patur, and the havmina is based on the fact that a man and wife cannot be together unless he becomes tamei, which will disqualify him from the avodah. So the big question is on this read is, in light of the maskana, which goes along and says, is that the havmina is wrong. Havmina sounds like it applies both b'shas avodah and shelo b'shas avodah. The maskana comes along and says, no, this patur of diras ish v'ishto is limited to shas avoda. But the question is, what exactly are the terms shas avoda and shelo b'shas avoda in the Havamina? Because according to Rashi, the way he explains shas avoda seems to be both during the day and during the night. Because during the day you're actually doing the avoda, and at night you can't be metame yourself. So once shas avoda refers to both day and night for the Kohen who's on duty. So the question is, then when the Maskana says, we're not talking about Shiloh B'Shas Avodah, what is Shiloh B'Shas Avodah? Right? You would have assumed that Shiloh B'Shas Avodah is at night, but once Rashi says at night is included in Shas Avodah because you can't become Tameh, so the question is, what exactly is the Shiloh B'Shas Avodah in the Havamina that this Patur extended to? So it seems like this is a huge chiddush, and there are other ways to read it. I was talking to Asher as a different mahalach. I'm not sure we're going to have time to spell it all out now. There's one mahalach in this read, according to Rashi, in the second day in the Rabbeinu Gershom, is this huge chiddush, that Shiloh B'Shas Avoda, which in the Havamina was Patur, is referring to a Kohen who's not on duty, but he's like on call. Right? He's not actually working the Mikdash, but he could be on call, let's say, as part of his Mishmar. He could be on call, which comes out in the Havamina, a huge chiddush, that even though currently he's not on call, because he's on call, and because of that, I guess you'd have to say he ends up having to, let's say, be poreish from his wife, that ends up also falling under the rubric of Teshu Ke'en Tadiru. So it ends up being a big chiddush of Teshu Ke'en Tadiru that in the based on the potential of needing to be called into the Mikdash, and which doesn't allow you to be with your wife, that also creates a patur of Teshu Ke'en Tadiru. Big, big chiddush. I don't want to spend too much time on that. The alternative girsa in the Gemara, which is important to note, just the fact that there is an alternative girsa in the Gemara is important. Right? This is already referenced on the side of the Gemara, that this alternative girsa doesn't think that the patur in the Havamina is based on Teshu Ke'en Tadiru of diras ish v'ishto, but it's rather based on another factor. The lashon is basically that since the kohen is osik in avoda during the day, and therefore since he can't sit in the sukkah during the day because he's busy with his avoda, therefore he's punter at night, even when he is not osik in the avoda. Right, the Gemara's lashon is basically, bain b'yom, bain b'layla, av sukkah, bain b'yom, bain b'layla. Sounds like the sukkah, the mitzvah of sukkah only applies to a person who can be sitting in the sukkah, bain b'yom, bain b'layla. But for this person, what?
Shluchim mitzvah. It's like the idea. Shluchim mitzvah are
patur. No, the problem. That's only when you're actually osik in the mitzvah at night.
Yeah,
as we saw. That was the whole Rav Yah. In the case of the Holchei Drachim, it's clear that you're only Patur Kol Zman that you're actually doing it. So the question is, what's this Havim, you know, that because...
Sleep helps and do the Vodah the next day. No, it's according to the same guidance,
You can say that. So one approach. So basically, so the question that has to be asked is, on this Havim, you know, is what's the Havim, you know, to Patur the Kohen at night if he's only being Osek in Avodah during the day? So one answer is along the lines that Aaron is answering based on that Rav Yah. As what?
As the maskana, what's the difference between the
and, you know, the maskana is clear in this. In according to this day, the maskana is very clear. You're only putter during the day when you're actually doing the avoda. But at night, you're not doing the avoda. You're going to be chayev.
Rashi said even if you're not.
You know, Rashi is according to other gears. This is the gear said not about diros ish v'ishtel. This is just the bein b'yom bein b'layla. So the question is, what exactly is the habamina to pater b'layla if you're only being osek during the day? So one answer, as you're saying, is that, oh, maybe this is like the Rav Yah in the context of osek b'mitzvah, that basically the sleeping at night is part of his askus. The problem with that is then that it's against the maskana. What?
This
gear said it doesn't necessarily have tesha kin to do. Yeah, this is a without Teshur Kein Dadur. So, if the problem with giving Aaron's answer of saying there's like a form of Osik B'mitzvah and then the sleeping at night is part of this askus, is that the Maskana rejects this, and that would be against the Rav Yah. So that would be one problem.
Maybe you just say you don't actually need to sleep so much. Maybe it's more important when you're on traveling, you know, might be sleeping more than
isn't,
you.
But then what's the Havmina? It would be hard to say the Havmina Maskana is the Mitzvah, so whether it helps or not. So I would prefer to go in the direction to say that the maskana, you do not have, meaning from the maskana, you see that you do not have the factor. You don't have the factor of the sleeping at night contributing to the day. So if the daytime of Oda does not contribute, your nighttime, whatever, sleeping doesn't contribute to your daytime asika, his askus in the avoda, so what's the basis of the chiyuv? So it could be that this havamina is similar to the shita of Rav Eliezer. We saw Rav Eliezer, we saw in the sukkah, meaning the Yotzim Yisukkah L'sukkah Sugya, this notion that with the Shita of Rav Eliezer, which we do not pass in line, which works out with the Maskana here, that the Shita of Rav Eliezer is that you need to basically establish your sukkah as your sukkah for a full 14 days. That includes having, you know, meals, bein b'yom, bein b'layla, and that includes this idea of needing to basically have one sukkah be your sukkah for the entire time, based on this notion of needing to establish that one sukkah as your sukkah for 14 days. So it could be that the Havamina is exactly like the Shita's Rav Eliezer. This notion that once you're Patur B'yom, you're not going to have a Chiyav B'layla, because as the Gemara's Lashon is, the Sukkah is Bein B'yom, Bein B'layla. It actually works out very nicely with the, meaning the Lashon of the Gemara. Actually, never mind. It depends on how you forget that last point. At the end of the day, this notion of needing Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla, as a Havimina, could basically align with Ashita Rav Elazar, which we saw this notion of needing to establish your Sukkah as your Sukkah for a full 14 days, Bein Bayom, or Bein Balayla.
Why can't you just say that the Havimina is like the Rav Yah, with Mashmal is not like the Rav Yah? Like, sleeping for the next day is not a mitzvah.
He's just saying for the other shittos. He's saying for the non-Rav Yah shittos.
Yeah, yeah. So the Havamina is the Rav Yah, the Maskana is not Rav Yah.
Yeah, because you'd have to come on to another answer for at least the Rav Yah.
Yeah, but I'm saying for the other shittos, it works out perfectly.
Okay, the same.
So how does Rabbi Eliezer explain Holchei Drachim, that I'm hunter during the day and so I'm in the nature? In general, you know, I'm something different.
That's a good question.
Obviously, when did a good answer for the Rav Yah that he doesn't hold like this gear set?
You can always get around it that way also. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so moving on, let's try to. We have 15 minutes. Let's try to, you know, move ahead here. Sorry, so there we were just analyzing, you know, the Havamina of the Gemara based on these two different Gersos, with Chidushim coming out in terms of, you know, within the Girsa of Rashi and Rabbeinu Gershom, you have the Mechidish regarding like Tishukin Dadiru applying much further than you would expect. And the alternative Girsa of the Yom Valayla, which I didn't mention, is the Girsa of the Shita Mekubetzes there in Oz Dalid, and the first Deya in Rabbeinu Gershom there. I don't know if you guys saw it, it's on the Makoro sheets. They're the ones who take this Ben Valayla idea. We saw a Mechidish coming out of there in terms of the Havmina of this Rav Eliezer type notion of needing to have your sukkah be both Bein Bayom, Bein Valayla. So now going to the Maskana of the Gemara, and now getting back to our topic at hand. So Maskana of the Gemara, right, let's say for sure according to the Girsa, which has Teshu Kintaduru there, Diras Ishvi Ishto, so it's clear from the Gemara there that even the Maskana, you have this factor of Teshu Kintaduru, of the variety of Diras Ish V'Ishto, at least Bishas Avoda. Meaning, at least when the factor of not being able to live alongside your wife, whenever that applies, you see from the Gemara, even the Maskana, you have this factor on this book of Teshu Kintaduru applying to Diras Ish V'Ishto. So that's on the basis of this Gemara that the Darkei Moshe famously says. He basically says that, oh, what's the reason why, what's one of the reasons why we nowadays do not sleep in the Sukkah? So one of his answers, he comes onto this Gemara in Erech, and he says, oh, if you look at the Maskana of the Gemara here, you have this factor of Teshu Kenta Duru, that the mitzvah of Sukkah only applies when you're allowed to sleep, when you can sleep alongside your wife. And he says, basically, because our Sukkos are not Miuchados, are not private Sukkos to enable a couple to sleep together, so therefore, since we do not fulfill this factor of Teshu Kenta Duru, therefore we are putter from sleeping in the Sukkah at night. What? Oltia? And then that was one reason the Darkei Moshe gives. Two other explanations for the reason why, meaning why the fact that we can't sleep with our wives would generate a Peturah. Right? So the first reason is the factor of Teshu Kintaduru, based on the Gemara in the Erechin. And the other factors are the fact that the potential bittul of the mitzvah of Ona. And factor number three is the bittul of Rav Samachta Atau Beisacha, which is right, which we saw in the sugya before, Lahakbel Pnei Rabo Beregel, this idea of being a mitzvah for a man to sleep alongside his wife, even if it's Ishto Nida, because it's part of, you know, Simchas Regel, this idea of a wife being mitzvah eris if her husband is not sleeping alongside her. So basically, Darkei Moshe, based on these three answers, basically explains our current minhag not to sleep in the sugya. Yeah?
Okay, if way back when they used to all be on top of the ceiling, on top of the roofs, and they only have three walls, and how are our sukkahs nowadays any less private than they were back then?
That's a historical question. It's beyond my grasp.
What was the habit?
Meaning, the answer to your question is that maybe in a Hanami, in those times, if those are the situations, you'd also have to.
So the Gemara just never mentioned it.
Oh, the Gemara Erechin. The Gemara Erechin mentions it in the context of Kohanim, so I mean that's an application. Meaning the Gemara doesn't deal with every application. I mean the Gemara, the concept of Diras Ish V'Ishto is on the books in the Gemara Erechin. So if that's an application, that's an application. Oh, we're gonna get to that in a moment.
Also, you can see really you're not related monthly, you're not trying to go ahead and fix your
turn.
Yeah,
we'll get there. So we have like 12 minutes. I'm just going to go, and then we'll hopefully just want to... Our days are numbered this year, so I'll be around for sure right afterwards to answer any questions. So Justin, it's important to note that when the Darkei Moshe is... he mentions three reasons liftor, and then says, basically, it's good to be machmir, but it's important to note his lashon when he says good to be machmir. He says, ach, right, ha-cheret al dvar Hashem, right? Yishtadel lo makom sheyuchal lishon sham below tzar. Someone who wants to be machmir, he doesn't say, oh, be machmir to sleep in the sukkah without your wife. It's rather be machmir to find a way to be able to sleep in a sukkah alongside your wife. Basically, find. What do you say? It's not your, right? I mean, there's a classic chi of sukkah is to sleep in the sukkah. There's a patur in a certain situation, but to get out of a patur, where it's not going to... Right, yishtadu lo mokom shiyuchal lishon sham below tsar. Try to find a place where you'll be able to sleep without tsar, which seems to be a reference without tsar, meaning you'll be able to sleep alongside your wife so your wife will not be mitzvah. right? V'yishen sham v'yavod es Hashem b'simcha. Since we reference in this way, insert, you'll be able to, if you're sleeping alongside your wife, you'll be able to fulfill also the mitzvah of smachta atah v'vesecha v'chein noagin amidat again. So it's very clear, it's coming out of the Darkei Moshe, because some people say, oh, that's just a kula. But really, if you want to be machmir, go sleep in the sukkah, even married men. But if you look very closely, I remember my father-in-law mentioned this even like lahalacha, the chumrah is to find a way to sleep alongside your wife. It's not to sleep there despite your wife being inside. And if you look closely, even when the Ramah in Taf Reish Lamites Beis, right, the Darkei Moshe was in Taf Reish Lamites Gimel, and the Ramah also cites this kula, so he only cites this factor of Tishukin Dadurun, that's the only reason he gives in the Ramah. And similarly, in his Lashon, when he talks about being machmir, it's also to be machmir to sleep alongside your wife. His Lashon is V'tov lahachmir, uli yosham, im ishto, kimoshu dar koloshana, im efshel liyoso sukkim yukhetah. So also clear from the Ramah's Lashon that the tzan lahachmir, it's not to ignore this factor of Tishukin Dadurun, but to be mekayim the factor of Tishukin Dadurun. Fine. So now, getting to Hirsch's point, the Moadim Uzmanim in Siman Peches has a piece there. He's discussing exactly this issue. Right. Once we've established, right, from the Gemara in Erchin, that's being brought down lahalacha by the Ramah, that this factor, that basically the mitzvah of sukkah only applies to a married man when he's able to sleep alongside his wife. Now the question is, what's the role of the Isha in all of this? Right? Before we were talking about, in our Gemara, the Chiyah being incumbent upon the Isha. So that was clear. She would have a Chiyah according to that. But the Maskana that she does not have a Chiyah. The Chiyah is all on him. So the question is there like a value for her to specifically sleep in the Sukkah to allow her husband to Mekayim the Mitzvah? Or do we say, no, if she's not in the mood, if she wants to sleep inside, and then the Mitzvah's not on her, and so be it. So the Moadim Uzmanim discusses this very interesting issue. And at first, he brings rayos from other contexts, one being Pur Revu, two being Simcha Beregel, or in both those contexts where Pur Revu and the mitzvah of a husband to Mesameach, his wife, Beregel, where both the mitzvahs apply, or cometh upon the man, and yet the Mekoro suggests that the Isha, there's some form of Kiyam for the Isha to go along to help her in the Sayas, her husband's being kind of mitzvah, right? So there's a famous Ran in the context of Pur Revu that he quotes, which says that she has some form of kiyam mitzvah from being misayas, her husband in the mitzvah of Pur Revu. And in the context of Simcha Beregel, the Gemara says that the Isha should go on Aliyah L'Regel to enable her husband to be misameacher. So once again, this idea of even when the mitzvah is incumbent upon the man, there's a notion of there being a value of the Isha to basically to go ahead and to facilitate her husband's kiyum. So at first he says, oh, so therefore so too here, it would seem pretty obvious that she should basically make, basically there should be a chiyuv, or at least a value for her to sleep in the sukkah to enable her husband to fulfill the mitzvah. But then he rejects these rayos and says, no, mitzvah of sukkah is different because of teishu kein tadiru. And this is approach that he develops more in the next siman, which you guys did with Rabbi Akiva a couple weeks ago, where the Moadim Uzmanim, Rav Shtirnbach, his like mahalach on Teishu Kein Tadiru is that it's very situational. That if there's a situation in Teishu Kein Tadiru, then the mitzvah applies b'chiyai gavna. But there's never a chiyuv to put yourself in a situation of Teishu Kein Tadiru to ensure that the mitzvah applies. So since that's his general approach to Teishu Kein Tadiru, he says, hu adin hacha, that when it comes to the Isha, since in the end of the day, if she wants to sleep inside, in that b'chei gavna, it's not teishu kein tadiru. So therefore, there's no value for you to start switching the situation in order to make it teishu kein tadiru. So he says, if she wants to sleep inside, there's no value. That's his general sheet of teishu kein tadiru. Other people argue on that. I'm just gonna two last hours, and I take questions. I just wanna make sure we get this in. And I know a bunch of these makoros. I know guys. To get to see. So either tonight or tomorrow at the beginning of Seder, if you guys could just catch up with some of these Makoros, just so we could, like I said, our days are numbered. Sounds a little climactic. So just two last Aros. So one, which is basically a repeat of something we just said, but basically the Magen Avraham on just two last Aros on this Psak of the Ramah, right? This idea of the of a husband being putter if his wife cannot be sleeping alongside him. So the Magen Avraham on the spot in Sivkat on Ches basically asks the question we've been dealing with. He says, how can the Ramah quote the Gemara in Erechin that Diras Ish V'Ishto, isn't that Soser our Gemara in Chavches and Abeis? So almost, I mean, her entire discussion at the beginning of the Shir, he basically, you know, encapsulates in one line. He basically says, Ramah coming along and quoting this nice Gemara in Erechin? But what do you mean? That's Soser our Gemara in Chavches and Abeis. The Gemara here clearly brings Teshu Kinta Zero Diras Ish V'Ishto in the Havmina, but it's clearly rejected the Maskana. So what's going on? And he gives exactly the answer we presented before. Exactly the chiluk before, that there's a difference between a case where you have a pre-existing chiyuv and Tishu Kindadir was coming to be magdir that is kept l'maskana, that's a gemara in Erechin. The notion of Tishu Kindadir rejected on Chavches and Abeis is the notion of being mechayev in Isha to begin with. So again, our whole discussion with the Ritzvah, we thought Pshah and the Ritzvah, is explicit in the Magen Avraham on the spot here.
He's just
raising it himself. He doesn't reference the Ritzvah, but it's the same shot we gave. And now, the other kasha that Hirsch asked, he was in a roll before, is the kasha that a bunch of them, both the Magen Avraham in Sifkat and Ches and the Taz in Sifkat and Tes, the question they both ask, exactly what Hirsch asked before, is if, according to the Ritzvah, according to the Ramah rather, that in a situation where, you know, the wife can't sleep outside, right? So it's not a sukkah miyuchedes. So therefore, this sukkah is not roi for shema. But the same Ramah in Tav Resh Mem Dalid, Tav Resh Mem Sif Dalid, paskins the Mordechai B'Shem Yireim, which we discussed earlier in the summer, which says that a sukkah, which is not roi for all tashmishos, is pater from everything. If a certain sukkah is not roi for shena, because there's tsar associated with the shena, then you can't even be mekayim the mitzvah of achila in such a sukkah. Basically, that such a sukkah is pasul. That was the example of Teshu Kein Daldiru being pasul in the chetzah shel sukkah. So the question is, if the same Ramah paskins that idea that a sukkah is only kosher if it's roi for all tashmishim, so in such a context, the Ramah is basically saying that our sukkos are not roi for shena. So then, if they're not roi for shena, so by the same token, they should also be pasul for achila. So this is a very strong question. Okay, you're on a roll. Okay, very good, very good. You're always getting to the answer. We'll just say it quickly so we can take some questions in the time we have remaining. So basically, this question is so strong that the Taz, basically, on the basis of this question, rejects this reason of the Ramah. It says, Al Korchach, this is wrong. This can't be a factor of Teshu Kein Daldiru. Really, the reason why, say, a married man is putzer from sleeping in the sukkah must be this other factor of your osik, the mitzvah being sameach, your wife, beregel. Because otherwise, if it's Teshu Kein Daldiru factor, the chetzah shel sukkah should be pasul. So Taz thinks this question is so strong to the extent that he rejects the Ramah's reasoning. And the Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi, which we saw earlier in the Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi, which we saw earlier in the year also, basically, on the basis of this question, rejects the entire Mordechai B'Shem Yireim. It says, because of this kasha, and because in the context, all right, we had also in the earlier sukkah, Chav Zayim Abayis, of sukkah achas, right, kol ezrach v'Yisrael, this is in sukkah for the entire Klal Yisrael, obviously you can't live alongside your wife with all Klal Yisrael right there. So on the basis of that, Metzius also, he says, Al Korachach, that sukkah is not roi for Shena, and yet the Gemara was saying, Kol Ezrach, that was roi for Achila. So he says, on the basis of this same type of question, the Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi rejects the whole Chiddush of the Yireim, of the Mordechai B'Shem Yireim, this idea of a sukkah being possible that's not roi for all Tashmishim. But for us, and for the Ramah, who does hold to this concept of, right, a sukkah has to be roi for all Tashmishim, so why is this not a problem? So if you look carefully, the Magen Avraham answers this question. His lashon is a little enigmatic, but I think he's getting to the point that everyone is picking up on. His lashon is as follows. The Tzarech Lomar, right, the same Magen Avraham who asked the kasha, answers it here. Tzarech Lomar, to mikol makom, kevan sheyachol lishon sham levado, because you could, sounds like, physically sleep there yourself, hasukkah kshera, the sukkah is kosher, the habidira, it is a base dira. Mikomakom hu pater de mikri mitzdar. But you're still potter because you can't sleep there because of this factor of tzlius, this factor of diros ish v'ishta. So the Magen Avraham is answering the question by saying, but physically, the sukkah is ro'eh for all tashmishim. So the answer, just to embellish the Magen Avraham a little bit, I think it's along the lines you guys heard some murmurs over there, seems to be this idea that this notion of the chetzesh al sukkah being puzzle, that's not ro'eh for all different types of tashmishim, that's only when the sukkah is not physically ro'eh for all those different tashmishim. But in this case, where let's say the couple, it's big enough for both of them, if anything, if the problem is that it's too big, right? Since it physically can house both of them, and just an outside, an external factor of tznias, which doesn't allow them to sleep there, so that external factor doesn't passel the chafta shel sukkah, so that you will end up having a case where in mitzias, the sukkah is not roi for shena, because of the ptur, due to this outside factor, but such an external ptur is not going to end up triggering bimafkiya the shem sukkah. It's just important for that notion of the whole yisod of the yireim, of this idea of a chetzer shel sukkah needing to be right for all tashmishim. We're now limiting that to basic cases where the sukkah needs to be physically right for all tashmishim. Okay, out of time. Take any questions?
Yeah? Doesn't one hand also the example that it's too cold? A sukkah is too cold. That also makes the entire sukkah.
Yeah, so I think it comes a little subtle in terms of the distinctions, but I think the case is that, I mean, a cold is about, you know, the environment of the sukkah itself. Yeah. I mean, in terms of, like, the walls, how much are they protecting me, right? In your house, they protect you, it's not cold anymore. In the sukkah, it doesn't protect me, it doesn't keep the cold out. So it could be that... What? That's the point. That because it's the sukkah, which is not keeping the cold out, therefore, it's a chisaron, which is related more to the
sukkah. Isn't tight enough.
It's a subtle distinction. But yeah, what?
It's dark.
Yeah, it's a little dark, but you have to basically be mechalal between like a physical capacity of the sukkah as a base dira, in terms of providing the basic functions of, you know, a dira, which is, you know, a certain environment. Physically related, but you have to say that it's snias, which you could have claimed is also part of a base dira to provide snias, 100%. But that's the chiluk that you have to end up drawing based on all of this. So we'll stop here. I'll take any questions on the way.